Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Attention, recruits! We are about to engage in one of our most complicated operations ever. Tonight, we will be discussing season three, episodes 10 and 11 of Rooster Teeth's Camp Camp. Don't revert to ease just yet, because our show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Good evening, campers! Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV after show for Camp Camp, featured on Rooster Teeth Reviews. I'm one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica, joined as always by my fellow counselors, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey, guys.
Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody.
And Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Welcome back. We are back from RTX, and in case you missed it, we did an RTX recap show this past Monday. Go watch it, but not quite yet because we got some Camp Camp to talk about. Is this a dancing one?
Why not?
I don't know.
All of them are dancing. Ones sure. If you try hard enough.
Fair.
I mean, we're not trying terribly hard, but it works.
Speak for yourself. I am shoulder dancing.
Shouldering it up.
Yep.
Since we've gotten a lot of our main RTX feels out, I guess it's only prudent to get right into the show. We didn't have any camp activities because we were going to RTX, and that was
our camp activity. We took a field trip. We went into the city.
Yeah,
some of us ate at food trucks.
Much like the
kids. I got lost once or twice.
Yeah, much like the kids. We went to the big city.
I didn't go down any back alleys, but I did wind up in a gay bar.
Did anyone try to sell you a knife?
No, I would be really worried if someone tried to sell us a knife at the Always Open Mixer.
Yeah.
Rain was great. Wonderful establishment.
Cool. Then let's just talk about the shows, because there went my segment that I was going to do. Let's talk about...
Did I preempt your everything?
Yes. Yes, you did. Let's talk about Operation Charlie Tango Foxtrot. This is where we get the Wood Scouts being losers, essentially. No surprises there, but we get an infiltration of Camp Campbell from the perspective of our would-be military experts. So while we're going to go a little bit more into detail, whose story was your favorite, starting with Katie?
I can never remember his name. The quiet one.
Petrol.
Thank you. I keep thinking Diesel, and that's not correct.
It's close enough. Pro wrestler. Megan, how about you?
Snake. Gotta give it to the Kurt Russell, like, Escape from New York style.
Especially
storytelling.
He added scars to himself.
He made himself more muscular. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Stacey?
Man, it's a toss-up between Snake and Jeremy for one reason.
For the sake of argument, I'll say Pikeman because boy, that boy has some self-image issues. That poor lad. He imagines himself so much different than what he is, and he can't just accept himself. One of my favorite points of discussion from all four of these stories is that there is a general understanding. Everybody knows what and who Jeremy is, and what he's about. And especially Jeremy. So I wanted to call him my favorite because he's the most self-aware and all he wants is people to understand. Poor Jeremy. Thoughts on Jeremy in this episode, starting with Megan.
I have to 100% agree with you, Mark, on this. My favorite thing about all of these stories together as a whole is how consistent Jeremy is throughout. It doesn't matter whose point of view we're looking at. Jeremy farts. Is just Jeremy farts. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know, Jeremy is a little bit more complimentary depending on who's telling the story, but like, it's Jeremy farts. Everybody knows what he's about. And what's interesting, I would actually argue that he doesn't necessarily want people to understand him. from his perspective, people do understand him, and everyone's a caregiver to him. Mm-hmm. That's how he sees everybody else, which in some ways is a little bit sad. Like, as you pointed out, it is a certain level of self-awareness. But yeah, the fact that he looks at everyone around him as constantly being hyper aware of how germy farts he actually is, it's a little sad.
I really hope that, similar to medical instances that are named after Pokemon and Sonic the Hedgehog
or Quarter Sister,
or well, in terms of real world, will our society ever get to a point where we have something called germy farts?
That would have to be some sort of digestive issue for sure.
It's my IBS. IBS just gets renamed to Germy Farts.
Yes!
In this room, that is now it.
My irritable Germy Farts. Literally, the only note I have for this episode is the Wood Scouts being losers. But when it comes to Germy, he's been on quite a... speaking to his story, the fact that everybody's a registered nurse and ready and prepared and open. The only person that really wasn't a stretch to... one of the relationships that I wanted to see a little bit more of in this episode was between Jeremy and Petrel. Because we've seen how Petrel and Snake operate and how Pikeman and Petrel operate. But now with Jeremy, I wonder if there's just like... With what we've seen from Petrel being the most sort of open-hearted and understanding person in that of the four Wood Scouts that we've seen, what kind of a relationship he and Jeremy have? Fine, I'll say these words that are going to drip blood from my mouth. I ship it. Anyway. And wipe all that from my mouth. And I blame Eddie because he wrote this episode.
Dear Internet, immortalize that.
How do you feel? Do you feel like your insides are just like oozing out of your mouth now? Or like, how does it feel? Do you feel a little bit like you've got a case of the germies?
I hope not. God, I hope not. Sorry.
The Malachrome is just, we've got him.
Sorry, I would like to leave it just at we. Sorry to kind of pull focus a little bit, but
excellent.
Our friend of the stream, Caitlin, is currently enjoying Disneyland at the moment. And during RTX, we did a little recap where I was doing Jeremy farts for bits. and Robbie suggested do pirate dialogue, and so I just did Pirates of the Caribbean as Jeremy farts, to which Kayla responded with, I couldn't unhear it on the ride, and it was my first time on the ride, and I'm sorry for ruining the ride for you. William Benson, Petrol and Jeremy farts is fumes.
That's such a good ship name.
All right,
I haven't liked one that much since Steel Magnolias.
Silent but Deadly. That's another good one. That's pretty good.
You guys are so good at this game.
Love it.
Oh, God, that one works out so well.
They both really do.
Did anybody expect Petrels to have dialogue?
I kind of thought it would be the... Oh, sorry.
I thought it was all going to be super eloquent dialogue.
Same.
Yeah,
we had super eloquent subtitles, which...
Yeah, I thought it was going to be almost Shakespearean.
You get... why is his name... Who's the voice of Snake and everything else?
Dante Bosco.
Dante Bosco. You get Dante Bosco.
Snake and everything else.
And you're like,
else.
Hey, guess what? Today you're just doing efforts for like... An hour. We're getting an hour of efforts from you, please. What a good... Thank you. That's what your first subscriptions are going to. Paying Dante Bosco to do efforts for an hour. Thank God. Let's hope we get an uncut video of all of that. What sort of voice were you expecting from Petrel? If it was going to be dialogue, Stacey, what kind of a voice? Like, if you could peg an actor.
jeez, I don't even know. I wasn't even sure what to expect from his point of view. I was kind of like, all right, this could go one of two ways, and it was honestly a toss-up.
Did you think of anybody, Megan?
I was thinking it would either be a super heroic voice, not necessarily quite All Might, but like, you know, sort of that same sort of like gravitas, or... I was also, you know, just given that his name is Petrol and he's a man of few words, I was also kind of expecting maybe something like Colossus from Deadpool. Mm. Or a strong Russian accent.
Wow, we got in the Russian already. It's good. That's good. That's a good pull.
Vin Diesel.
He just says Superman. Like, that's it.
That wasn't where I was. See, I went Fast and Furious because she was like, his name's Petrol. So I was thinking, and I'm like, oh, Vin Diesel. Mm. Oh, no, that was not the direction I was... And you said just... All Might, and I just imagined his eyebrows as All Might things. I'm done. Good night, everybody.
Fan art. It's beautiful. And another tiny tangent. There's an amazing artist that's doing Incredibles, as in Pixar's The Incredibles, and My Hero Academia crossovers. You should probably check those out, because the art is beautiful.
That sounds wonderful.
It's so cool. It's so flipping cool. They've got Jack-Jack taking down All for One. It's terrifying. I was expecting like a Benedict Cumberbatch.
That would have been... Eloquent, perfect.
Low, also great. But intelligent and soft and easy on the ears. Jazz41173 says, for some reason I was expecting an accent, maybe English or Australian. Maybe not, probably. And Cam Griffin saying, Petrol's version was Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Fucking love that game. Is there anything else that we want to talk about when it comes to Charlie Tango Foxtrot?
I love that we Rashomon'd it. Mm-hmm. I knew that we were going to do that when they were like, tell us a story. Well, we'll tell it one at a time. I'm like, oh, we're going to Rashomon. I love it when they do this. And it was great. Now, very well executed.
I do have a question about that. Is it actually a Rashomon if they tell different parts of the same story?
As opposed to the same story several times?
Yeah.
I would say yes, just because Rashomon is the trope namer for that. So I would say it's the style, and that telling the entire story multiple times isn't necessary to fit in the style.
That was my question. I would love, if somebody in the chat has Google at your disposal, let us know.
Excuse you, you have my opinion. You don't need Google.
Google is always right.
What do you guys think?
I think it's, if it's not firmly in the category, it is at least a tangent of kind of that.
It's Rashomon adjacent.
Yeah, it is very closely related, if not under that exact same umbrella.
But also any last thoughts on this episode?
Yes.
Please.
I don't know. This is, the Woodscots are silly.
Yeah.
They're silly and they're just... bad at everything.
I'm wondering if actually, given this episode, given how the Flower Scouts, you know, bested them eventually with cookie sales, and given, you know, how the dance went and everything like that, I'm wondering if they're overdue for a win, actually, at some point down the line.
I mean, we've got one more episode. Let's see if the Woodscots are in for a win for that. But it depends on where we go with season four, I think. And we'll be talking a lot more about that next week, and where we're devoting the whole hour to just that one 22-minute episode. Heaven forbid. I really like this episode. I don't think it's a nice break, because there's a lot of stuff, as they mentioned at the RTX panel, where it's like, oh, we'll put a little bit of story here, we'll put a little bit of story here. It's all story at this point, and to get this sort of be centered around Jeremy, I was just really happy about it. You know, this, I think, because the consistency of Jeremy, this was Jeremy's redemption arc, redemption episode. And he's just trying his best.
This is the first Jeremy Farts episode we've had where I haven't just been like, at some point, because I don't necessarily handle barf jokes and whatnot super well. So I'm happy with this one.
They're explaining the joke. That naturally makes jokes much more funny when you explain the joke.
Well, of course it does.
Example. Let's talk about
case in point.
Really, actually, before we get to the next episode, Megan, I think you have something to share with the folks at home.
I do. Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels too. Let us know that you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Are you looking up iTunes?
Yes.
Well, then let me do this. Another way you can help us is by going to our iTunes feed, which is Rooster Teeth Reviews. It is the home of all of our after shows, whether it's Red vs. Blue, Camp Camp, Ruby, which is going to be coming back in a little bit, Nomad of Nowhere, which is going to be coming back a lot sooner. Make sure you subscribe to us there. That shows the producers that, hey, we're doing something right over here. Leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. 5 stars because the... Thank you. Because the other four, they don't even work. So just might as well use 5. Save yourself the trouble. Katie, do we have any new reads?
No. I believe we've done the one from July 10th, so no.
Damn it! All right, so let's...
Gesundheit!
Thank you. It was us, Nez. Now let me... I'm going back a couple of videos to see if we have any fresh comments. We've got some folks from, we've got Terrence Nolan and Chicago critic Gerald, who left us a comment, who left us comments on our last Camp Camp episode, but now going to our Red versus Blue episode, where we had special guest Joe Nicolosi, who wrote the Dolph episode a couple of weeks ago, as well as all of Red versus Blue. We had Alejo Canejo 2209, Sweeney Todd 98, Juzd 156, and Trombone King 87. Thanks for taking part in the conversation. And then let's see if we have any from Monday. What the hell? Where I'm wearing the same shirt. Don't worry, I do laundry. Let's,
if you hadn't pointed it out, I don't think anyone would have said anything.
It's the same shirt. It's very similar. Let's move on to episode 11, City Survival, written by our friends Lila Hav and Oren Mendez. We got to watch this one live for the first time at RTX, which presents a completely different element, because one, everybody's singing along. But two, it's you may laugh at some stuff that you don't necessarily laugh at home because everybody else is laughing and having a good time. So I will posit this to everybody, starting with Stacey. Did you watch this episode again after RTX?
I watched it several times after RTX. Okay.
Is there anything that you noticed the first time at, I'll just say generally, at home that you didn't notice watching live?
I think, well, part of the crowd experience is enjoying the overall effect of the episode, mm-hmm. I think. So yeah, there were a lot of things going back and watching it the second and third and so on times that I picked up on, little moments that were like obscured by everyone laughing at something that had happened just prior, mm-hmm. You know, which is great because we got to enjoy that moment, but then you can go back and pick up all the other stuff.
Get all the smaller stuff that everybody missed. What about you, Katie?
Never did find my parents.
Poor Matt. Simple and to the point. Megan, what about you?
Honestly, in terms of like little details, I've watched this episode 3 times, and so I wasn't really keeping track of what I learned at what time. But I think my favorite bit of seeing it live was just hearing how big of a laugh everybody gave when the words homeless twink were used to describe David.
Was that homeless twink staring at me?
That was a really good impression.
It's like I don't say that every day.
The entire room just erupted. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that whatever the dialogue after that, the lookout was really funny. Mm-hmm. That was one I don't necessarily think I picked up on the first time. But yeah, that I'm going to go with the lookout.
Yeah. For me, I liked, I enjoy sitting through the credits and seeing everybody who did everything, and I liked how much of the team were the voices of the various people, and it was cool to see familiar names in there, but also when it came to character designs, they mentioned it in the panel, but I noticed it more going from live to home of just how many they, this isn't, I'm not using this as a negative term, just how many they recycled and recolored and reused just so that they could get their character count up to an appropriate level. Because it was levels of like Ruby season one of Empty City. and if they went for Shadow People, that would have been silly.
I thought a couple people looked familiar. Like, I'm pretty sure the girl that was asking Daniel if he wanted to help the kids, I was like, wasn't that one of his counselors when he was young?
They're both like, she's a Time Lord, she doesn't age.
Why doesn't she recognize him?
The owner of the food truck is one of the characters that came into the electronics store. Like, there's a lot of small characters that you barely see any of. I think the male actor in film was the bouncer.
Yeah, well, probably. Was the actress the waitress?
The waitress. Yes, different hair.
Oh my gosh, I thought she looked familiar too.
Yeah, that's her.
It's just Doppelganger City.
It's so weird, just like, huh, how do I know that person? This is a cartoon. What the hell am I thinking?
Waitress, did she just hit rock bottom and decide that porn was the only way she could make a stable living? Oh, honey.
What Jazz41173, bring that up. Leave that in the comments. They leave a very interesting question about a past episode, but next week we're going to kind of be talking about the finale and all of the past season, but make sure to leave that in the comments and we'll answer it next week. I don't think we should do that this week. Anyway.
No spoilers for next week, guys. Be nice.
But it's not that it's about the foreign exchange students.
Yeah.
And there's no like sort of into going through there. Max keeps being a little shit. Surprise. It seems like this episode was supposed to be a highlight of him being in his natural habitat and not knowing anything that he's talking about, so it seems. What were y'all's expectations of Max in this episode once we found out? I mean, it was pretty quick. We saw the poster the day before, and we were watching it the next day. But what were your expectations of seeing Max in the city, Katie?
I actually don't remember seeing the poster myself, so I kind of went into it blind. Okay. But yeah, no, I pretty much expected it to be a complete disaster because it's Max, and anytime he walks in being like, I know exactly what I'm doing, the accurate reply is, you're 10? So,
even if you think you know what you're doing.
Yeah, no. Really absolutely. And it's just how Max works. Like, if it's, I know exactly what I'm doing, I'm completely in control here, I'm gonna teach you how to live. I'm like, no, you're not. Oh, this is going to be a disaster on all fronts. And lo and behold.
Mm-hmm. Megan?
The second he said, I'm going to show you guys around, I'm going to show you what city life is like, I knew it wasn't going to go exactly the way he planned. How that ended up panning out, I wasn't sure about. But I don't know about you guys. Have you ever given a tour that, like, you think you're going to impress somebody and either nothing goes right or they are just thoroughly meh by the tour that you give? I've definitely been in that position where I was super excited to show someone around a movie lot, and their general reaction was, eh. So I really felt for Max in this episode of just like, I'm so excited to show you this stuff, and you're going to have so much fun, and then they don't.
Okay, but at least your tour was eh. His tour was massive levels of unmitigated disaster.
I'm sure Nikki had fun.
I think she has fun regardless of circumstances.
This is true.
Nikki is a ball of fun that she radiates outward.
She had her pocket dirt. She was fine.
Agent of chaos.
I was a big fan of... I skipped over... You over you, Stacey. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. So when we first saw the poster, I was like, okay, so Max could totally be a city kid. That would make sense in his narrative. But then as soon as the episode started, he started going off about, like, I'm going to show you all the things. I was like, oh, wait a second. Mm-hmm. No, he thinks he knows what he's doing. He thinks he knows what to expect.
It's like you read the tour guide for LA, so you think you can actually make it around LA. And everyone who's lived here for more than 2 months is like, you want to go where, at what time, on what freeway?
It's really a shame to that note how accurate the Californian sketch on Saturday Night Live is. Because I catch myself so often going, oh, well, how'd you get here? Oh, well, I took the 405 to this, to that. Like, son of a bitch.
I am that person. Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Oh, all the time. Yeah.
No. I make fun of other shows that say they're set in LA and then say something completely beautifully boneheaded about traffic or taking a freeway. Like, oh, I took this to this. I'm like, that freeway doesn't run over there.
You see them in downtown LA on the phone and they're like, where are you? Glendale? I'll be there in 5 minutes.
If it's 2 a.m., you'll maybe be there in 15.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if it's 2 a.m. on a weeknight.
Construction.
Yeah. Just hit me with that smash cut.
regional humor.
Welcome to Austin Harper. So happy to be catching this live. We're happy to have you live.
Hello,
thank you
Austin.
For joining us.
You walked in right in the middle of the California freeway talk.
I mean, it wouldn't be a Rooster Teeth production, live podcast production, if we weren't talking about some sort of local construction. there was the RTAA style thing that was going around during RTX of Bernie just shouting at construction. It's pretty great. I was not necessarily expecting, but I was wondering if we were going to see the other side of Max, if we were going to see him being a city kid and other kids in the city recognizing him and going, hey, it's that shithead Max, or something like that, to where something to that effect, where we would see how much the shoe is on the other foot and how much he is projecting. But it probably would have been a little thick to do in 11 minutes. I'm really happy with what we got. I almost have expected it to be a reverse of David and the kids are having this amazing experience disproving all of the city things, whereas the exact same things but reality are happening to Max and the other three. But I mean, food trucks, am I right?
Oh, Fat Batman saying maybe Max is better at living in his own city than he was in this episode. I like to think he's from suburbia or a very small town, so he thinks he knows what the city is like. He thinks.
And what, does anybody have an idea of what this city is supposed to mirror? Like, did anybody get any sort of vibes of like Seattle or Chicago or?
Well, I know that the mugging story that Miles told at the panel, I know that that took place in Seattle because of the RTAA. So they also at one point had they were in the rotating restaurant. So I'm assuming a sort of Seattle analog. Is there a restaurant at the top of the Space Needle?
I don't know if there's a restaurant, but there's definitely
like a similar kind of deck.
Yeah. If not restaurant.
Austin Harper says, as production coordinator for 2D, we love all you guys at AfterBuzz and all the fans.
Thank you.
Very nice to hear. Please let us know if we go too far. But ultimately, we do love everything that you do, and we hope if there is anything that comes off a little off, that we're just trying to be constructive. But I don't think that's going to happen here in Camp World. But yeah, I think Seattle's a good pick. That was my guess.
Just based on Miles not knowing he was getting mucked.
And then woodsiness, and then small towns nearby, and larger. Like, I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Right outside of town. There's a lot of stuff, just as a... because somebody was hoping that we would bring this up in the chat. Everything is still on Mixer. If you've missed anything from RTX, any panels, including our own, make sure to check out Mixer. They're separated by meeting room. If you go to the RTX schedule, you can find what's in what room and rewatch it in glorious 480p. But make sure to check out the Cam panel, because there's a lot of fun stuff that happened in that. and a lot of great stories about the new writing team and as well.
Even if Issa's beautiful reactions will only live on in still frames and not in video glory.
I mean, you can hear the roar of the crowd when she just drops dead, because she died.
Leaps to her feet and yells.
Yeah, it was quite an experience, and you can share it online with Mixer, thanks to Mixer. Now, the B story, or the A1 story, A2 story.
The steak sauce story.
Sure. David is taking the kids around, just trying to find Max, Nikki, and Neil, and gets in all sort of shenaniganry. And leave Space Kid just at the hydrant.
It's not the same kid.
No, poor lad. Did anybody expect any of the kids to sort of take the reins or be like the group leader when it came to this story, starting with Megan?
Given how panicky David was, it wouldn't have surprised me if one of the kids sort of rose to the occasion, like one of the ones who doesn't normally get to be the leader, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Or if Nerf had tried to assert his dominance or channel his inner Gwen, it wouldn't have surprised me. But at the same time, he was being so panicky and so twitchy and so loud. It doesn't surprise me at all that he just wanted to herd the kids from one place to another as safely as possible.
What was everybody's favorite sort of one-off line from the kids when they were exploring the city?
Hey, square pizza.
Yeah.
I think my favorite line wasn't from the kids. It was actually from David. It was, "Oh, my fingerprints are on this necklace."
No, man, Harrison commenting on the street magician.
Yes!
Get wrecked.
Man.
I couldn't help but laughing at, "Hey, there's a guy that looks like me over there." Handing out pamphlets. Like, no. now that we have the development of Dolph, it's kind of easier to laugh at all of the jokes, because he's really just a kid and a victim of circumstance. Poor child.
It did disappoint me a little bit that Neris didn't get to talk to the fellow fantasy nerds who were just on their way to a con.
What? Yeah.
Are we sure that's what was happening?
They might have been going to LARP. I don't know.
Whatever. I mean,
what did you think of?
Personal interest in the city. That's all I'm saying.
Did you think that they were filming another sort of movie?
No. Not necessarily.
All sorts of interest.
It's Seattle. They actually probably were going to a con or going to LARP.
Let Neris go to a con.
When you wake up, it's Seattle.
They're probably going to some sort of drug convention.
You know what?
Have you ever been LARP? We see signs
in Los Angeles all the time for like HempCon, WeedCon. Maybe they were, it could be as innocent as they were just going to a drug convention. Like, that's not a big deal anymore. David's just a prude.
I mean, wasn't he looking up stuff on paranoidmoms.net or whatever it was?
Which is
one of my favorite throwaway lines.
Whose phone did Neil have at the beginning? Because it looked like David's phone, or it might have just been the same prop.
And it's probably the same prop. Well, I don't think Neil ever gave up his phone.
Well, Max stole David's phone, and he probably just handed it off to Neil when he didn't feel like carrying it.
Yeah.
I've never seen a fifth bar.
Yeah, we see Max with that phone very often.
I do want to ask, though, since David was so paranoid about being in, it didn't seem like this city in particular, just any city, what does this say about David and where he grew up? Did he either grow up in a city and grew to hate it because of how positive Camp Campbell was? Or did he grow up in a suburb and never really experience city life in any way?
I would say the latter, or he just grew up in a very small city. Like, personal experience, but Cheyenne, Wyoming comes to mind.
There's an amazing Voltron Camp AU happening in chat right now.
What?
Malachroma suggesting that Lotor and the generals are the Flower Scouts.
I mean, credit where credit is due. I believe it was Nyan Kitty was Nyan that Kitty. Started all of this off.
Yeah, Nyan Kitty did it.
Oh my gosh.
Blades of Marmora are the Wood Scouts.
As far as I'm concerned, Koran is David.
Yeah.
Guys, I love everything about what's Gwen.
Actual Disney princess Koran.
Guys.
But that's a different show.
He would be singing the song, though. Mm-hmm. Imagine that in Rhys Darby's accent.
Stacey, can you just see this beautiful tapestry that's been... Oh!
I see it. I'm in. We're gonna...
It's a combination of the D&D episode and the live show touring episode. it's a combination of the D&D episode and the Ember Island Players episode. And we're here. Fan art.
The Wolf is the Platypus.
Written and directed by Preston.
Cosmo, written and directed by Preston. Good play.
There's even one of his generals even lost an eye. She could be Tabby!
It's perfect!
Zethryn?
It's perfect!
No.
Speaking in that voice.
Lotor is the dead mother.
Yes!
And then the three yes. are the three.
Somebody please tell AJ about this. He will find it hilarious.
Somebody tell Issa about this.
Yes!
She will draw it
yes,
anyway.
Please.
If she's not too busy. Happy birthday, Issa.
Guys, someone, yeah, please, just fan art, please.
Just tell Issa about all of this. Tell your friends.
We'll just clip it and send it. Zephyr. And we'll tag both parties.
Yes.
Zethred with two eyes. Not anymore.
My name is Zethred with two eyes.
No, but like in her voice, though. Like, imagine.
My name is Zethred with two eyes.
That just sounds mean.
And that will never change. Okay, I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't mean fine. For us to go down this rabbit hole.
I brought it up, so whatever.
You realize Allura's in magic camp.
Allura, which magic camp?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, great.
Is she Harrison?
She builds her own Orion. She builds her own Orion out of cardboard.
Austin saying can neither confirm nor deny any of this.
Cam Griffin, I said earlier that Shiro was a counselor, but no, Shiro is Jasper. If Jasper came back.
Oh, dang.
Thankfully, it's a function of magic camp where you can just.
Here's what the final word of this discussion is going to be before we move on. What's the sex dungeon like? Anyway, let's move on to the rest
of the
show. We
don't know what Lotor's habits are like.
That's why I wanted to end the conversation with that. Thank you for continuing it. Let's move on. So David, we get a cross section here. We get David learning to finally appreciate the city after some strange deep-seated fear of it, and Max learning to appreciate nature. And we're in a place where everybody's starting to understand themselves when we find out the heartbreaking news that Camp Campbell has been sold to Camp Corp. And that's where the episode ends. You know what I said after that episode aired? I think that everybody said after it airs.
Was it a swear?
Yes, it was the word fuck.
It was the fuck word?
It was the fuck word.
Oh, no, not the fuck
wait.
Word.
Well, really quickly, one more time.
Seriously, what the fuck?
Thank you.
I'm so happy you added that to the soundboard.
For those of you who have never heard it, please go on YouTube and look up the many meanings of the word fuck. Mm-hmm.
It's delightful.
It's like this NPR style. It's beautiful.
That was George Carlin, if I remember correctly. Billy
Connolly. I'm thinking of a different one, actually.
Okay. I would also recommend Billy Connolly's usage of the word. Specifically, fuck off, anyway. So we're left. Has anybody watched the finale yet?
Yes.
Everybody? Okay. So without talking about the finale, and nobody talk about it in the finale because it's not available for everybody yet. Where we heard this, where did your mind go? I want to start with Stacey on this one.
No!
General emotional chill.
No. Do not want. I mean, it took one look at all the kids' faces to kind of know that, this will not stand.
Megan, how about you?
I thought everyone was going home. Like, I legit thought everybody was going to be going home. And one of the questions I asked Jen when we had our, and Elizabeth as well, was like, okay, what do Nikki and Arid do during their summers without Camp Campbell? Because that's immediately where my mind went. Camp was taken away, so they have to go back to their lives. I just imagined everybody having to go home to their awful, awful parents.
Excuse you, the Millers.
No, okay, Arid's two
Mr.'s
cool
Miller.
Gay dads are the exception to that. Naris had great parents.
There are a lot of good Mrs. Nerfington, one could argue, with her 30-year-old son.
I was thinking... her 30-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Nikki and Neil and Max in particular. Mm. You know, a lot of the other kids will be fine, but also Harrison's parents are still terrified of him. Dolph's dad will never understand him. Like, a lot of them, even if their parents are well-meaning... Are never really going to be on the same wavelength as their parents.
Well, speaking to that end, are we ever as humans?
That's fair.
Like, the ultimately, when I got to talk to Jordan and Issa, they said ultimately the show is about the relationship between children and adults. And it's a similar feeling that I felt here, where it was, no, they shouldn't have to deal with that yet. As opposed, like, knowing that they're going to, and the anticipation of the possibility that they're going to have to rush immediately back, and everybody as adults these days going, I wish I had one more summer vacation, I wish I had this, I wish I had that, I wish I had this. So it's an unfortunate situation where these kids have to go back to reality before they're meant to.
I went somewhere else. I went somewhere completely different. I was thinking a little bit shades of Daniel, but now that it's been purchased by a large corporation, Camp Campbell would have to start conforming to standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess that's kind of where we have to leave the story stuff until next week.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to do for a camp activity. There's no direct relationship to anything that happened. This was just one of my favorite things that we got to do back in season one, and I would like to do it again. Next week is the end of our stay at Camp Campbell as a group, as a set of counselors, as a set of campers. And I want to know, we all want to know, what your favorite line of dialogue was from this season, and we would like for you to perform it as a little theater camp exercise.
Aww.
Because that was one of my favorite things that we got to do. We got surprised by Lee giving us a couple. I think as we go into Nomad before they destroy our son in a different world.
No, my baby.
Let's go back to let's think of simpler times and discuss all of our favorite stuff from season three, which is eventually what next week's episode is going to be. But before we wrap up, are there any final thoughts, words, or for anything on this episode?
Again, where we leave things off, you know, like, we've sold the camp. What happens to the quartermaster if his evil can't be contained to Camp Campbell?
Whatever he wants.
I think the quartermaster just kind of does as he pleases, and at the moment, Camp Campbell pleases him.
In what regard?
You was in the dungeon!
It gave him quarter sister.
Oh!
I mean,
like,
literally
and
figuratively.
Without Campbell, does he just leave this metaphysical plane of existence for another one? I just don't know.
Well, I don't
he
think we'll ever know.
He just goes back into the lake.
And he just walks into the lake.
Chills out on the astral plane for a while, whatever.
And the way that I see that happening is you don't see any water move or get displaced. He just walks through...
Yeah,
down into the bottom of the
lake. And then just enters into hibernation until it is time to emerge once more.
I mean, that kid came from somewhere.
Now imagine the opening to Avatar The Last Airbender, but they find the quartermaster.
Encased in ice.
Gotta go penguin sweating.
Don't open that can of worms.
I wanna go penguin sliding.
Oh my god!
penguin sliding is so last millennium.
Oh, they wouldn't. They'd be smarter. No. The only people that would be dumb enough to get frozen would be the corner pastor, Jeremy, and maybe Space Queen.
Nikki would do it for fun or on a dare.
Yeah, probably.
Just to see what
she'd
happens.
See them like doing and just be like, wait, I need to be involved.
I want to see the future.
Welcome to the Camp AU episode, where we're talking about all of the different places where we want to see these kids. But it's something that proves the staying power of this show, to where we don't want to stop seeing these kids.
Yeah.
We don't want to stop spending time with these kids, and we're trying to figure out ways to keep their story going until next summer. And it's probably going to be an emotional one next week, because goddamn Richie Branson knows how to write a credit song. I'll tell you what. So before we go, any other final thoughts on City? I was going to say City Escape, but that's not true. City Survival.
Rolling around at the speed of sound.
That one. That one.
I think that kind of was my final thought.
Great. Stacey.
Can we see the little spin-off episode of what happens to Space Kid in the city?
Yes!
Because Quartermaster walks off with an empty harness at the end, and Space Kid is nowhere to be found.
Space Kid's day out. Oh, my God.
Space what? Kid in the city.
Yes!
I need to know.
Oh, that's delightful. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I'd I was gonna say
there's
I'd love
now
to see that movie.
Sing along in chat.
Great.
What, Mark?
You were I was trying to find it and I lost my thought. So if I remember, I will tweet about it.
Okay.
But yeah, we've been gifted with a lot of great additional voices in the world of Camp Camp, and this one it was very nice to talk to Lee before we saw this episode.
Yeah.
and about how proud, and she texted afterward and was like, "Did you like it? Was it good?" It's like, "Yeah, it was great." Lee Lahav's the best, and I hope we get a chance to talk to her again soon. But we're going to be talking to you soon next week when we talk about the finale of Camp Camp season 3. Sadness. But before then, Katie, where can the folks find you? Are you working on anything in particular?
Yes and yes. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reactions to Rooster Teeth stuff, they live on that channel. Yes, I am working on the Camp Camp episodes. Rendering is fun, guys. Voltron's back. 7 p.m. on Mondays. Attack on Titan is back. 6 p.m. on Sundays for now, and then we're going to hop to another slot in a couple weeks, and it's going to be great. Yeah, follow the Twitter for all of the things that are occurring.
Megan?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And if you like shipping talk, I was recently on an episode of Ships in the Night. Hosted by Zach Wilson and Greg Goodness. Go check out that episode. Also, I did a spotlight on with Katie Cullen, and we interviewed the lovely Vanessa Marshall. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. So check that out.
Great name. Stacey?
Hey guys, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. And when I'm not there, I'm over at Inventory Full on Twitch, where Inventory Full PT, we talk about games and play games whenever we have time.
Yeah, and you're starting back up at your job. I will just put it that way.
Probably means I have more time to game.
Hey! The last couple of episodes we did were our talk show, the Anime Unload, and a lot of stuff that was Rooster Teeth related. So go ahead and check us out at Inventory Full PT. We'd really appreciate it if you could give us a Twitch Prime subscription, because it'll help us build out, and we hopefully have a really big announcement coming soon in terms of more stuff that we're able to do. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Make sure to follow the team at The Rooster Team on Twitter. Make sure to head to our SoundCloud for Welcome to Vale, which is our Ruby and Welcome to Night Vale crossover show. We're going to have to re-record episode 3.5 unless I make a deal with the devil. So if you want to hear
that,
make sure to head over to Mixer. I'm going to tweet out our particular panel again, where we performed live episode 3.5, which may now be episode 4. But really excited to talk about the end of Camp Camp, though not really, because I'll cry.
Aww.
And we will see you next week right here on Rooster Teeth Reviews.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.